Welcome back, everyone, to the Deep Dive. You know, we love to explore the sort of hidden corners of the financial world, and today we're diving into something that really caught my eye. The idea that a fund manager's first fund, like their debut, often does better than the ones that come after.
Yeah, it's a bit of a head-scratcher at first, right? You'd think experience would be king in this game.
Exactly. More resources, a bigger team, all those connections you build over time, you'd assume that would lead to, you know, better returns. But we came across this article.
Oh, great article.
Yeah, by it was the founder of this firm that specializes in backing, get this, emerging managers, and the data they present.
Interesting.
Yeah, it tells a very, very different story.
Well, and it's particularly compelling coming from someone who's built their entire business around this concept. They're not just like observing it. They're actively putting their money where their mouth is.
Right. So it's not just some academic theory. It's like their livelihood depends on this being true.
Exactly. So I'm curious, what kind of performance difference are we talking about here? Give us some numbers.
All right. So we dug into the research and studies from groups like Unigestion, PitchBook, Preakin. They all kind of point in the same direction, particularly when you look at private equity. For example, back in 2020, the median net IRR for first-time funds was 21.1%.
Okay, and just so everyone's on the same page, IRR, that's internal rate of return, it's basically how we measure the profitability of an investment over time.
Right, it's like the annualized effective return you're getting, a key metric.
Exactly, and 21.1% for first-timers, that's pretty impressive, especially when you compare it to.
Oh yeah, so established funds in that same year, their median IRR was 13.2%.
That's a huge gap.
Yeah, and it's not just a fluke, like a one-year thing. PitchBook looked at funds launched between 2012 and 2014, and guess what? Similar pattern.
First-timers killing it.
17.1% median IRR for them compared to 10.8% for the follow-on funds from those same managers.
So this is like a persistent, measurable difference.
It really is. It's fascinating. Yeah. So, of course, the million-dollar question becomes why? Why are these first-time funds consistently outperforming?
Yeah, what's the secret sauce?
Well, the article lays out three main reasons. Incentive, nimbleness, and what they call freedom from legacy.
I like that. Freedom from legacy.
Yeah, it's a good one. So let's break these down.
All right, let's start with incentive. What do they mean by that in this context?
Well, think about it. For a brand new firm, that very first fund, it's like their make or break moment. It's their reputation on the line.
Everything's riding on it.
Yeah. And they're often tapping into their personal networks, sometimes even investing their own money alongside their clients.
Because the stakes are incredibly high.
Yeah, there's a level of pressure and motivation there that's hard to match later on, you know, when you've already got a few wins under your belt.
It's like that saying, necessity is the mother of invention. When your back's against the wall, you find a way to make it work.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that often translates into a more, like, hands-on approach. These first-time managers are often really involved in the companies they invest in, not just providing money, but also guidance, mentorship.
They're rolling up their sleeves.
Yeah, which is something you might not see as much with those like bigger, more established firms.
Interesting. All right, so high stakes lead to intense focus. Got it. What about this nimbleness factor? How does that play into performance?
So think of it this way. Smaller funds, especially those first-timers, they can move much faster.
They're not bogged down by all that.
Yeah, all the bureaucracy, those layers of decision-making you see in those massive firms, they can spot an opportunity in some like niche market and jump on it quickly.
And they're not worried about like moving the market with their investments because they're not playing with billions of dollars.
Exactly. It's like they can sneak in and grab those opportunities that might just slip past those big, slow-moving firms.
I love the image of like a speedboat zipping around a harbor while those giant tankers are trying to turn.
Perfect analogy. All right. And last but not least, we've got that freedom from legacy, which I think is so intriguing.
Yeah. Unpack that one for us.
So basically, they're not weighed down by past successes or failures.
Right.
They don't have to waste time defending old decisions or like trying to maintain a certain image.
They can build from scratch.
Yeah. They have a clean slate. They can build their strategy and their portfolio based on what they believe will work now in the current market.
It's like having a blank canvas and the artist's free to paint whatever they envision.
Exactly. And that freedom, it's a powerful thing, especially in a world that's constantly changing as fast as the financial markets.
Where adaptability is key. I love that idea of freedom from legacy. It's really powerful, and I think it ties back to our source, that founder, who actively seeks out these first-time fund managers.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're putting their money where their mouth is, right?
Big time. They believe in this phenomenon so strongly that their whole business model is built around it.
It's a really interesting approach, right? Because it's kind of flipping the script on how people traditionally think about investing. Instead of chasing those big name established firms, they're looking for the up-and-comers, those hidden gems that others might be missing.
A contrarian strategy, but clearly it's working for them based on the data we've been discussing.
It is, and it raises a question for our listeners, you know, for anyone thinking about their own investment strategy. Could allocating some of your portfolio to these emerging managers, could that be a smart move? Something to consider.
Definitely something to think about, but like with any investment, there are risks, of course. We got to be real about that.
Right. It's crucial to do your homework, your due diligence, just like you would with any investment. Just because the data shows strong overall performance for first-time funds, that doesn't mean every single new manager is going to be a winner.
Right. So let's talk about some of the potential downsides, the pitfalls investors should be aware of when considering this approach.
Okay, so first and foremost, you got the lack of a track record. With those established managers, you've got their history to look at.
Yeah, you can see how they've performed in different market conditions.
Right. Gives you some clues about their investment style, their ability to navigate different situations. But with these first-timers, well, that data just doesn't exist yet.
So you're taking a bit of a leap of faith.
Yeah, trusting that their strategy is going to play out the way they say it will.
Yeah.
And then there's also the potential for just, you know, inexperience leading to missteps. Even with the best intentions, a solid plan, there are just some situations these first-time managers might not have encountered before.
They're still learning the ropes, right? Refining their decision-making process as they go.
Exactly. Which is a totally fair point. It's like anything else. Experience gives you that broader perspective, the ability to anticipate problems, but...
But that also ties back to the nimbleness we talked about, doesn't it? Maybe that lack of experience actually helps them be more adaptable, react faster to those unexpected curveballs.
Right. It's like this interesting trade-off between experience and adaptability. There's no easy answer. Both factors can definitely play a role in a fund's success.
And you, to be fair, we should acknowledge the survival bias argument here.
Oh, the classic survivor bias. Yeah, some folks might say we're only seeing those successful first-time funds because the ones that failed, well, they've just faded from view.
It's like judging how good a new restaurant is based only on the ones that are still open 5 years later, right? You don't see all the ones that close down.
Exactly.
But
so are we getting a skewed picture of how these first-time funds actually perform? Is it all just a mirage?
It's a valid point, but I think it's important to remember that in the fund management world, a failed first fund often means the whole firm goes under. They don't get a second or third chance if they flop right out of the gate.
That's true. So maybe that survival bias isn't as strong in this case.
Potentially not, yeah. And remember, our source, the founder of that firm backing emerging managers, they've got a lot of firsthand experience with this. I'm curious to hear their take on this whole survival bias thing.
Well, they definitely acknowledge that it exists, but they also believe that their selection process, it's like super rigorous, really mitigates that risk. They're not just throwing money at any new manager who walks in the door.
So they're not just betting on blind luck. There's a method to the madness.
Yeah, they're vetting these candidates carefully, looking for those with a deep understanding of their target markets, a solid investment thesis, and a strong track record, even if it's not in traditional fund management.
So it's a combination of data analysis and like gut feeling, that intuition that comes with experience.
Right. They're not relying solely on algorithms or spreadsheets. It's more about finding those hidden gems that have the potential to really shine, even without a long list of previous funds under their belt.
That's really interesting. And it kind of speaks to the idea that, you know, experience can take many forms. It's not always just about years on the job.
Right. It could be transferable skills, that entrepreneurial drive, a proven ability to learn and adapt quickly. Those things can be just as valuable, sometimes even more so.
Absolutely. And if we zoom out a little and connect this back to the bigger picture, it raises a really fascinating question. If we're seeing this pattern of first-time success in finance, is it happening in other fields too?
Ooh, that's where things get really interesting, because now we're talking about potentially changing how we think about talent and potential in general.
Mm-hmm.
Are we sometimes putting too much emphasis on years of experience and missing out on other qualities that might be even better indicators of future success?
Like, are we overlooking people who might not have a long resume, but have that drive, that hunger to learn, that ability to think outside the box? Those are the skills that are in such high demand these days.
Exactly. And I think that's a great point to leave our listeners with for now. Are we maybe too quick to dismiss someone just because they haven't been in the game for decades?
It's a question worth asking ourselves. Are we missing out on opportunities to work with, collaborate with, invest in really bright, driven individuals who have that potential to achieve amazing things? Just food for thought.
I love it. So if you're listening and this deep dive has piqued your interest, what should be your next step? Where can people go to learn more about this phenomenon or maybe even explore investing in some of these emerging managers?
Well, there's a ton of information out there online, from industry publications and research reports to the websites of those firms that specialize in this area, like the one we've been talking about.
Right. Those folks are really leading the charge in this space.
Absolutely. And as always, I encourage everyone to do their own research, dig into the data, and make sure they understand the nuances before making any decisions.
Be an informed and discerning individual, whether you're talking investments or career choices or anything else.
Exactly. And as we wrap up this part of our deep dive, I want to leave our listeners with one final thought. If this pattern of first-time success is playing out in finance, where else might it be happening? Are there other industries where we're maybe undervaluing the potential of those who haven't been around as long but have a fire in their belly to prove themselves?
Ooh, I love that. What a great question to ponder.
Yeah.
Maybe the next time you meet someone who doesn't fit that traditional mold of success, take a moment to really hear them out. You might just be surprised by what you discover.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep learning.
Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive.